November 19th, tour at 7 p.m. with Sean and friend. I don't really like to give all the names. I definitely don't do last names. So when you guys get your card and you go to download this or listen to it again, it'll just say Sean. Okay. It's not going to have your last name or anything like that. I got to keep the anonymity there, but you got to be able to find it.
Sure.
So when you get to it, you can download it. So who am I? I'm Nicholas McGurr. Welcome to Stories in the Cemetery. This is, I was explaining to Alyssa, this is very new. We're about 2.5 months in with this particular tour, with Charleston Cavalier Tours. It's also a new company in town. They've been around for almost a year. He's been actually doing some obscure tours, like above Calhoun Street. So you'll find most of the tours, when you guys are downtown, you see a lot of groups walking around. You know, they're all down past, like, all the haunted locations. But Stories in a Cemetery actually started off as a blog for me. Believe it or not, it was actually going to be a nonfiction book. I'm a writer. This is what I do. I write fiction, but I also have a blog that's nonfiction, which is what we're doing here. So, Stories in a Cemetery was going to be a book that proves psychics' abilities. So,
cool.
I actually was working with a psychic, and we were going to haunted locations in the Myrtle Beach and upper South Carolina area, and we were able to prove a lot of different things. I wouldn't tell them where we would go. I'd simply pick them up and tell them how to dress based on if we were going to be inside, outside, and how long we were going to be gone. So if I call them up and like, hey, Carl, we're going to be out for about 5 hours, dress with a nice warm coat, which means we're probably going to be outside at some point in time. Mm-hmm. That's all he ever got. You'll hear some stories tonight as we go through. Like, we hit some locations that I don't have full stories of. I have little tidbits here and there, but they are great locations, and I've had readings from them in the past. This is usually where I tell my psychic stories from where the book actually began. So when the book didn't get published because too many people were slamming doors in my face, I moved to Charleston, and I decided to put everything up on a blog. I had all this evidence. I wanted to get it out there. So I put it up, and all of a sudden I started gaining all these followers. It was like, wow, this is huge.
Cool.
So I started investigating more places. Yeah. And then my youngest daughter got older, and she wanted to get in on it. So she started coming along with me, and everything was super cool. And I started writing more blog posts. And then my wife said, why don't you turn it into a podcast? She's like, you're really good with crowds, you have a decent radio voice, you know how to work recording equipment. So it turned into a podcast. And lo and behold, it got even bigger. So then that's when Charleston Cavalier Tours found me, and they listened to my podcast, and Brian, the owner, was just like, you have something going here. How would you like to come on as a tour guide? I'm like, all right, cool. Let me take a look at it. So we actually toured, and together, like, through downtown, and that was my interview. And the funny thing is I was in retail management for 22 years before I shook his hand and said, let's do this. So I was going to do a ghost tour. And then he started reading my blog more. He's like, you use equipment. Yep, I do. He's like, what if you actually made this interactive? I'm like, even cooler. Let's do it. So he and I started looking around and looking for more places to investigate because we wanted something more obscure than your typical Old City Jail, Queen's Porch, Dock Street, you know, all those places. It was super great. You're going to hear stories about them because I've investigated them. But we hit some weird places like King's Rum Bar.
Cool.
So we're not going to go inside any places. So I'm glad both of you dressed somewhat warmly. You both had these shoes on because we are going to hit some cobblestone streets. So that's kind of my story of how and why I do this. This is actually more of a, like, you guys get the awesome experience of using tools and what those hunters do.
Sweet.
But at the same time, like, I'm working on a blog post right now for the Pinckney Mansion site, which we're going to hit. But every time I go there, I get new evidence.
Cool.
That's super cool.
So you may be contributing to the new evidence that's going to go up on my blog and podcast.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is, like, super cool. What questions do you guys have for me so far?
Any chances anything will follow us back? I'm not psyched about that.
Oh, really?
Okay.
There's a chance.
Okay.
You never know.
Now, I'm not going to come out and pretend that I'm some kind of psychic or anything like that, but I will tell you that for some odd reason, on the way here, I had this weird smell of cologne in my head. I'm like, what is that cologne? I know this cologne.
Mm-hmm.
It was my grandfather, who passed away about 12, 14 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like, all right, Grandpa Joe, what's your name with me today? So I've had experiences, and that's why I do this, because I'm a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody here a skeptic?
Slightly? I'm open.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I've never had something, like, personally really happen to me that I could, like, for sure be like, okay, that was this. Like, I have things where I'm like, I think it was, but I totally believe 100%, even though I don't really have it.
I don't make anything up here. So whatever we find, the first thing we do is we debunk. If you've ever watched any kind of ghost hunting shows, they'll show you the debunking process. Mm-hmm. We're going to use very simple tools where it's going to be easy to debunk.
Okay.
So why the skeptic?
Just lack of experience.
Okay.
We may have a ghost cat at our apartment, so that's kind of...
Why? What's the story there?
Just like feel nudges or brushing up against us.
We got a kitten, and ever since we got her, we've started seeing, like, it looks like another cat when it's, like, not her.
Okay.
And we'll,
different
like...
color?
She's gray, but it's like a shadowy figure of a cat size.
And, like, we'll feel like a cat, like, her paws touch our feet or something, but she's, like, sleeping in the other room. And then we actually had, like, this nightstand and had a glass ornament that was sitting on it. And I was sitting on the couch, like, across the room. And she was, like, sleeping. She was, like, by me sleeping. And it just, like, got knocked over. Like a cat would. You know, cats knocked
sure.
stuff over.
Yeah, they love getting
that crap. Knocked off of the counter, or the nightstand. And I was, like... It was so weird, because nothing moved. I was just sitting
there. Actual cat reacted in any way, strangely?
She's such a kitten, I don't know if
she
she's acting
She plays with anything.
Bad.
I mean, she plays with air, so, like, sometimes we're like, is she so playing she with could a ghost be. Cat? I remember one night I woke up. He was, like, not at the... he wasn't there that night. But I felt... She was, like, playing in the bed next to me. And I was, like, kind of half asleep, but I was like... Oh, she's playing with the ghost cat. Like, it just popped into my head. Like, the first thing that I thought was, like, weird.
So I actually did a study on this on my blog because it was kind of like, oh, I have an emotional support animal.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Byron. You're going to hear about him a lot because I wrote a book about him. He's a fiction character in one of my books.
Okay.
But at any rate, he, when he was, I don't know, let's say about a year, he would get up in the middle of the night, stand at the edge of the bed, and just bark at nothing.
Oh, that's just weird.
Absolutely nothing. So I was kind of like, I wonder, I mean, I've had a dog like that before when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He wouldn't go in my parents' room. No idea why. My brother claimed he saw a ghost at that point when we were kids, and it was kind of like, all right, that's why Toby doesn't go in there. But Byron, my wife said, I wonder if he can see stuff. And I said, well, let's do some study. I need scientific fact. So I started looking into it, and I found out that dogs actually have a diachromatic eye, whereas we have a monochromatic eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, not mono, multi-chromatic. Can't remember the term. But what it means is that we can see multiple colors.
Yeah.
Dogs see things in blues and yellows. So... Next time you're on YouTube, I want you to look at any kind of dog training or any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Obedience?
Not so much obedience, but like the, where they show them off, like the shows, like a dog show.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is in blue and yellow. All the track is in blue and yellow because that's what they can see.
That makes sense.
There's actually a dog simulator app where you can test it. I used to work for a pet company, and I used to show my customers that all the time. I'm like, stop buying red toys because I can't see them. Like, buy them blue and yellow.
Yeah.
So, another interesting fact is my wife works for Best Buy. She has to wear a blue shirt to work every day. Every time she puts it on, he whines because he knows that she's got to go to work.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those, I try not to wear blues and yellows on him because then he knows I have to leave.
Oh.
So, at the same time. So, you guys are probably like, where are these tools at? Let's get started, right? So, let me show you what I got. And I always ask who my skeptic is because they get the most active tool and it gives us the most evidence.
Okay.
It's usually, this, when I'm touring downtown by myself or with Brian, the owner, this is the tool that I carry around and I keep it on at all times. It's an EMF detector. So an EMF detector is electromagnetic fields. If you don't know, if you said you've already watched some of these shows, so I'm over-explaining.
It's okay.
You can explain for me.
Okay, perfect. I try not to make people feel ignorant or you know, incompetent by the tools. You gotta love the Nintendo Classic case that picks up.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
It fits everything perfectly, and it was on clearance. I couldn't pass it up. All right, so this guy is gonna give one pulse to show us that it's on. So, we're already getting something already. So this guy will actually detect, if I were to put my cell phone, you guys got a cell phone on you?
Yeah.
Go ahead and pull your cell phone out and turn it on. This is going to give a pulse somewhere to show where your signal's coming from. Like, actually, can you sign into it maybe? Like, yours is already on. See how it's giving it? It'll give a pulse. Okay, so when we have anything electrical, it will give a pulse. But right now, for some reason, your phone seems like it's dead. If I were to turn mine on and put it up to the corner, it'll literally give a pulse in time. So that is a...
So should we, like, turn off our phones?
No, absolutely not, because right now, it's not giving us anything, right? It's too far away. It really needs to be, like, right up against something. So even if I put it right up against the building, it's not going to give us anything unless there's electrical wiring behind this wall.
Yeah.
Okay, so... But what we're looking for here is erratic patterns. So we don't want a pulse. We want something that's going crazy. Okay? We want something a little bit nuts. Because if it's a pulse, something with timing, we got electrical wiring nearby. We can debunk that pretty quickly. Every street corner will give you a pulse. just so you know. Okay. We're in downtown Charleston. The grids are on the ground.
Yeah.
So that is going to go to you, Mr. Skeptic.
Sweet.
I'm not going to pull this out wholeheartedly, but we may have to from time to time. This is actually an infrared thermometer. So this will be, I usually pull it out just to get a temperature gauge of where we're at right now. And we're at 54 degrees. So we're going to use an ambient thermometer, which is what you're going to get. That tests the air. Now, the cool thing about an ambient thermometer is the only one I could find is actually a psychrometer. So what this guy actually gauges, it has two different numbers on it. The top one is the humidity. We don't care about that. We care about the bottom one. Okay, so right now, it's gauging the air around it through this probe. That's what we want. I've actually tested this thing with a little square space heater, and kind of like, I wanted to see how far I had to be away from the airflow. It's within an inch.
Oh, really?
So I've actually found one cold spot with this guy, and that is near the Sphinx House. Now, we can't go there because it's residential. But again, who's to say it's going to be there tonight anyway?
Yeah.
So this is going to go to you. Now, there's only one button. The power button's down here. So if the light goes out, you got to turn it off and turn it back on again. Because we're going to work as a team, and I might always touching you. And I might say, okay, what's our temperature? Do we have a cold spot anywhere?
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of chilly out here to begin with. Like, I'm a little shivery. I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. We actually have a couple more tools that I'm going to show you. This is a spirit box. Either one of you know what this is? You may know.
I think I've heard it. It's just basically static unless it's... A voice coming through?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I'm going to kind of test it out right now. And normally, it has like a little ball speaker, but it's not working. So, it's not sweeping right now. It's going to use AM or FM radio stations. I believe I have a clip for FM. And when I hit sweep forward, it's just going to start sweeping through all the stations. So, at times, I may hand this over to one of you guys, for you guys just to listen. A radio announcer, any kind of disembodied voice, those kind of things. Now, if you listen to it now, go ahead and put it up to your ear, back and forth. It's really hard for a word to come through there. So if it actually stops and says anything, somebody's forcing it to do that.
But it is, like, sweeping through radio stations.
You can see the stations right on the screen.
Okay.
So it's actually using real radio frequencies.
So when it, like, stops, like...
It'll keep sweeping. But it's not going to stop wholeheartedly for us to hear a radio announcer, but we might hear, like, for one instance...
Like a full word?
A full word. It'll say, you will. That was on one of the sites that I had before. It'll say, it might be the radio announcer. Just think of Bumblebee from Transformers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's exactly how this works. Now, have I ever heard an actual disembodied voice from this that wasn't a radio announcer or a song? No, not yet. So that's my alarm to check for 9 o'clock. But that's okay, I don't have it. But we're going to keep this handy. We're not going to keep it out. Sorry, this thing has so many pockets, it's hard to keep them straight. And the funny thing is I didn't even buy this bag for this. This is to hold my medications. I don't want that one. This guy, everybody usually wants to hold this guy. This is a grid pack. So what this guy does, but it is a laser. So we have to keep it very low key. I keep this with me unless I have a large group. So you guys each have a tool if we need to, but you can see that thing goes pretty darn far.
Yeah.
Now, what are we looking for with this guy?
And
I think that was the last little tools in there. Yeah, there you have it. So this guy, I'm a smoker. I hope you guys don't mind. That's how I demonstrate this. But we're not going to actually look at the laser lights that are on the ground. So if we're in an obscure location where, let's say, it's by a cemetery, and I say, hey, let's hear this story, but let's look for this. So you see how there's streaks here?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to be looking for.
Okay.
The full apparition that we can't see with the naked eye.
Okay.
So have I found anything with this yet? I haven't, but one of my tour guests has. Says that when we were at the Pinckney Mansion site, he swore he saw some streaks coming through. None of us had our phones out to record it. It was a large group. They were all using tools. I'm trying to keep track of everybody. Like, what are y'all doing? So I keep this handy for when we're near cemeteries and places like that. And that way it's not blinding anybody. The last, but I use an app while we're on the tour for a spirit box. It is legit. I have gotten proof and evidence from this app. It is super cool. So if you guys want, like after the tour, if you want to ask me what these apps are, they actually work, and I tested them all. So there's an EMF detector that you can use right on your phone. So if you put that EMF should have something.
Yeah, they see each other.
So you see the pulse that's coming through? Mm. That's from my phone. So this isn't going to get anything from, you know, something. Yeah, it's going to get from my watch.
Okay.
I don't know how it works through the phone, but it does. But I don't use that for the tour because you already have a legitimate one out. The other one I use is called Ghost Detector. Pretty cheesy name. I get it. I leave it down on low. What's cool about this is instead of us listening for words, it's going to give them to us, typed out. So, if in the event we actually get something legitimate where I'm like, oh, that actually makes sense.